Well, this morning we're joined on the phone by Cass County Public Health Director Beth Olson. Beth, how are you this morning?
I'm just fine. How are you doing today?
Well, good. I was expecting you to say healthy and well.
So far.
Well, it's public health after all. We've talked a lot over the last several weeks during the course of the coronavirus pandemic issue, and we've talked about a lot of different things, but it seems like we started very slowly here locally. Thankfully, we didn't see a big rush of cases. We had a few that popped up, but really now it's kind of quieted down again for the time being, and our cases really haven't been all that bad here locally.
I would agree with that. We've been very fortunate to have very limited number of cases, and you know, the ones that we were able to track when we did see some of those spikes were from individuals that you know, we were expecting to be positive because they'd been in close contact with other known individuals who had COVID, and you know, that's where you're starting to see the, those cases pop up. So when you spend time with somebody who is infectious, so. We have been very fortunate here to have a low number so far.
And folks have asked, well, why is that? Why have we had such low numbers? And, of course, my response always is because we have such an awesome public health department.
That's kind of my first thought, too. No. You know, we've talked about it before, but we're just pretty naturally distanced from large cities. And where we see this spread is where people are spending a lot of time together in close settings. And particularly, it can spread really easily in households, which makes sense. You know, if we get sick with something else, it seems like the whole household gets it, too. But we're really seeing this kind of spike in, you know, the metropolitan areas where there's congregate living or gatherings of large groups and that sort of thing. So, you know, we shouldn't be surprised, I guess, that we have less numbers. And if we did have a large gathering and you had somebody sick, we'd probably see our numbers go up pretty quickly, too. So we've just been pretty fortunate, I think, with the, you know, the layout of our county and just where we geographically are located.
Sure, sure. Well, I know initially there was a bit of general frustration just because, you know, folks weren't able to get tested immediately to this situation. But, you know, you got to remind folks, I guess, that this is all new, too. We had to figure out what we were testing for and how we were going to go about doing that and get a lot of things set up from scratch. But, you know, then eventually we caught our bearings, and now it seems like testing is pretty much widely available.
Testing is really widely available now, and like you said, you know, I can understand the frustrations, but we didn't have all these supplies. I mean, you know, it's not just a matter of you can go and get a test and anybody can be tested. There's a lot of things that have to happen in the background. It's not as, you know, simple as what, you know, sometimes it comes across on, you know, when we're reading, you know, articles and that sort of thing about you go get tested. You know, it's not that simple. There's a lot of pieces in the background that have to line up, and we've seen that happen. And like you said, now we have more widespread testing available.
And although there are many, many coronaviruses out there, you know, this one was unique, so we had to figure out what we were dealing with.
Correct, correct. Yeah. And that's what we, you know, the testing that we are doing, we want to make sure it's accurate, because if it's not, what's the point of having, you know, what's the point of having a test completed?
Yeah, it seems to me as an outsider just looking in, as far as testing goes, it seems to me like it's kind of been a relatively short period of time. I know folks who have been cooped up inside might disagree with me on that, but in the grand scheme of things, it seems like it's come a long way in a very short period of time.
It has. It really has. I mean, you know, we just saw our first case in Iowa. What was it, March? I don't remember the exact date, but, you know, and that was completely on the eastern side of the state. You know, and when you look at when we saw our first case here in Cass County was April, and, you know, we're just 2 months out from that. And, you know, I mean, the testing capabilities across the state have increased drastically, you know, just in that 2 or 3 month time period.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about what's next, because now that we've not seen any spike in cases around here, in fact, it's really cooled off quite a bit around these parts, mostly, not in all the counties around here, but most of them. It seems like, you know, okay, that's great. Now it's all over. We can get back to normal. Well, not necessarily. We're easing back into it, but there still are some things out there that we should be concerned about. And some things we hear a lot about. Folks in the medical profession are very familiar with serology testing. We've heard that term tossed around a lot. For those who might not understand that, can you explain that a bit?
Sure. So serology testing is going to look for antibodies in your blood that would suggest that you've had an infection in the past. But the thing is that if somebody had a serology test for COVID-19 to see if they had a COVID-19 infection in the past, we don't know how well those antibodies are going to work to help you fight the virus again, should you be exposed again. And we don't know if it'll provide you immunity. So, right now, people, you can get serology testing, but, if your result's positive, it doesn't change anything that we would encourage you to do or recommend if you were exposed again, because we just simply don't know, can you get it again? Will the symptoms be more mild or will they be worse? We just don't have those answers yet. And so it's important to continue collecting data and figuring out, what does serology testing mean for people? And can we use, people who have been infected for, some people I've seen, they're doing studies on plasma from blood donations and those sorts of things. And but, having a positive or negative serology result, it's really not all inclusive. We're just beginning to learn what all of that means.
Sure. Who uses those results? Scientists, researchers, medical professionals on the front lines, all of the above?
Yeah, all of the above. So you would have to have your primary care health provider order that. Right now it's a lab draw, so you would have to be at a healthcare facility that has like a phlebotomist or a nurse that can do a blood draw. And then it's sent to the laboratories just like any other test is sent. And then we can use that to determine, the level of antibodies that somebody might have. But, when it comes down to what your primary care provider is going to recommend with that result, I know a lot of them are really hesitant to even want to order those types of tests because, again, what do we do with the result? If it says negative, then, you didn't have COVID in the past. And if it's positive, you may have had COVID in the past. But like you mentioned, there's lots of different coronaviruses, and so we have to be careful that people are using, quality and reputable sources and places for antibody testing. Sometimes people will talk about at-home testing or a finger prick testing, and we just don't know if the research is there to support, the accuracy in those testing, ways.
Sure.
So, lots more to come on that. And again, we're just 3 months really into this COVID response in Iowa, and it'll be interesting to see, where we are 3 months down the road with serology too. So
say if I were just to go in for a routine physical where they would do a blood draw, is that something they would normally now test for?
No, I don't think it is. I don't think we're seeing that widespread of serology testing locally yet. It might be something, again, that's more up and coming. I know I've heard at the state level they've talked more about being able to do serology blood draws and that sort of thing. So I think it will be coming kind of down the pipeline and it may become more common. But right now, I don't know any providers who are routinely ordering that. Because again, we don't want to give anybody false hope, with any sort of a result, because we simply don't know what it means.
Mm-hmm. Do you see a time down the road when a lot of folks will be encouraged to go in and get tested to see if they have the antibodies?
I do. I think that, we're right now, Test Iowa is doing the PCR testing. So that's like, at this point in time, you either are positive or negative for COVID-19. And I could really see them using kind of that same framework to do mass serology testing to maybe get a big picture of, here's the state of Iowa, and this is, it might give you a better image of how many people, may have had exposure to the virus who never had symptoms or, just thought that sniffles that they thought was a head cold, maybe it actually was COVID-19. So I do see having really widespread serology testing in the future. Again, it takes time to roll all of that out. And I haven't heard any definite plans from the state to do so or the governor's office to do so. But I do think that'll be kind of the next next step since we have kind of the PCR testing kind of under control now.
You know, it will be interesting to kind of take a look back and assess how we handled all of this. I assume your office will be a part of that local assessment process, just because we practice for a lot of different things, you know, for tornadoes and severe weather type issues. And I mean, there are all kinds of different things that we practice and we prepare for. This type of situation, not necessarily one of them.
Well, and
from our standpoint,
at a much smaller, I would say from the community standpoint, no, I would say that the community doesn't have these kinds of things. But you know, I, as public health, I have a pandemic emergency preparedness plan that we review and we update annually. And we do what's called a tabletop exercise with local partners. So fire, EMS, law enforcement, the emergency manager, the hospital, and public health. And you might do it based on if there was a bird flu that came again. And so we play through different scenarios that could happen, but I would say that we've never thought about planning for this length of a pandemic. It's been more of thinking H1N1 on that type of level, and mass vaccination clinics and that sort of thing. So, in the background, those meetings and those things are going on. But, I would say that this long-range pandemic that's just totally affected the entire world, those conversations hadn't really happened before. So.
Yeah. Well, and when you start talking about all the practice in the world, the biggest the biggest thing that factor you can throw in, the biggest variable would be the public. I mean, how are they going to deal with all this too?
Yeah. And especially in the coronavirus, it has played a huge role in, the social distancing and following those, those proclamations that the governor has put out. And so the public has played a huge role in, slowing the spread of this, especially what we've seen locally.
Yeah, very good. Well, great. We're glad to hear that things are slowing at this particular time. That doesn't mean, don't pay attention to things, but for now, things are slowing.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, Beth, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate all the assistance.
All right. Take care.